night, the Supreme Court weighs in on Donald Trump. The unanimous decision, the nation's highest court deciding Colorado cannot keep Trump off the ballot, saying this is not up to the states.
Tonight, the Supreme Court hands Donald Trump a significant legal victory.
Well, the court has decided unanimously that Donald Trump cannot be disqualified as a presidential candidate.
Tonight, the major ruling from the Supreme Court barring states from removing Donald Trump from the ballot. The justices in a unanimous decision restoring the former president to Colorado's ballot after the state kicked him off, citing the 14th Amendment for his actions surrounding the January 6th attack. That ruling coming just hours before voters in Colorado and more than a dozen states head to the polls for the Super Tuesday primaries.
So the Supreme Court ruled yesterday 9-0 that President Trump cannot be removed from the ballot by the Colorado State Supreme Court. That is a crucial, absolutely crucial part of this ruling that, you know, one of those, and I'm sure they got it right in their overall news coverage, but as the three leading networks, of course, three main broadcast networks led with this, and everybody else. I mean, this was the story of the day yesterday. No surprise whatsoever. I had said that I thought this, I mean, we all thought it was going to come out yesterday. I had said that I thought the ruling was going to be to keep Trump on the ballot. I thought the ruling would be a 7-2, possibly a 9-0. It was a 9-0, but the points of disagreement really matter. And the points of disagreement on the fact that there were actually three opinions written, well, I mean, you really have one opinion unsigned by the majority. That's Gorsuch, Alito, Kavanaugh, Thomas, and Roberts. We don't know who wrote it. My guess would be Roberts, but we don't know. And then you have Amy Coney Barrett wrote a very, very brief comment. And then you have Elena Kagan, Sonia Sotomayor, and Ketanji Brown Jackson had a separate dissent in which they agreed that the Colorado State Supreme Court cannot keep Trump off the ballot. What they disagreed about, however, was actually very important. And I want to talk about this for a second because it's important understanding what the court did and did not say. Remember, there were several issues at play in this case. First, you had the question of whether the presidency is even one of the offices from which somebody can be disqualified for breaking an oath and participating in an insurrection. It's not among the listed categories, and it's not an office under the United States of America. That question was not decided upon. The Supreme Court opinion just didn't talk about that. Another question is whether Trump did or did not engage in insurrection or broke an oath. The underlying court had decided that he did engage in insurrection, that he was an oath breaker. The Supreme Court also did not rule on that question. They could have. They could have, but they did not. That's also very important. What they did rule on, what the majority opinion said, is that the state has no power to kick somebody off the ballot under the 14th Amendment because that power is not granted to them under the 14th Amendment. Also because if you were to grant them that power under the 14th Amendment, that would be contrary to the entire purpose of the 14th Amendment. The whole idea of the 14th Amendment is to restrict state power. Remember, after the Civil War, the 14th Amendment came in to keep the southern states restricted in their ability to do bad things. One of those bad things would be to remove people from the ballot, and there's nothing in the 14th Amendment that indicates a grant of state power. There's everything in the 14th Amendment to indicate a federal accumulation of power at the expense of state ability, and so this is basically contrary to everything the 14th Amendment stands for. And so even Justice Thomas and Justice Roberts, when they were hearing this case back in February, they pointed this out.
What was the purpose of the Section 3? The states were sending people. The concern was that the former Confederate states would continue being bad actors. And the effort was to prevent them from doing this. And you're saying that, well, this also authorized states to disqualify candidates.
Why would the framers of the 14th Amendment have granted southern states the ability to kick people off the ballot? It's completely at odds with the whole purpose of the 14th Amendment, which was to keep the Confederate states in submission and to grant power to the federal government to continue to do things to protect the rights and privileges of the United States citizens against things like what the Confederacy was trying to do.
Talk about, of course, the conflict after the Civil War, and there were people who felt very strongly about retaliating against the South, the radical Republicans. But they did not think about authorizing the South to disqualify national candidates. And that's the argument you're making.
And there was no action following the law that was put in place after the 14th Amendment that provided for disqualifying candidates. There was nothing in that that was ever used by states in this way to disqualify federal candidates at all. So there's no documentary evidence that anybody thought it could be used this way. The third reason that the majority cited was that state-by-state decisions, you know, Colorado, he's off, Illinois, he's off, Florida and Texas, he's on, by different standards. You'd have a patchwork quilt of incoherence that is no way to run a republic, especially when one office like the presidency is supposed to represent everybody. So they decided that Colorado cannot do this. But who can? Federal government. And specifically, they said Congress. Only Congress, through enacting legislation, is able to disqualify somebody for being an insurrectionist for holding office under the 14th Amendment. And that's the part where the liberals disagreed with them, and I'll talk about that in just a second. Jake's got traffic on the fives. First, Jake?
Okay, not seeing any major accidents reported by FHP at the moment. We do have a little bit of slowdown on Highway 98 eastbound through Navarre, getting by the Walmart. Don't see an accident there either, but just some slow going through that area. Also, just now seeing reports of a structure fire. This is going to be at Torres Avenue and 6th Avenue in Pensacola. Crews will probably be on the scene getting that under control. So if you're in that area, be sure to avoid that intersection if you can. Otherwise, around town, we're looking great. I-10 and I-110 are at posted speeds. If you're on Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace, it looks good. Avalon Boulevard is clear. And Highway 29 south through Cantoma is accident-free. If you see anything out there slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. Back to the ruling from the Supreme Court yesterday, 9-0 ruling. Five justices saying only Congress can disqualify candidates, and then four justices, at least three of whom said, no, that's not correct. You've gone beyond the pale in saying that. You've gone beyond the question and engaged in what is called dicta, is the phrase. When the Supreme Court's asked to answer a question, all they have to do is answer the question. If they go above and beyond that to offer, like, their opinion about something that they're not being asked specifically about, that's not a precedent that is binding on future Supreme Courts. And that's what I agree with the liberals in this case. The liberals said, there's no restriction of this power simply to Congress through enacting legislation. That's overly restrictive. There's nothing in the 14th Amendment that says that, and the sort of disqualification override provision that says with 2/3 of a vote of Congress, you can reallow somebody to hold office. That only makes sense if it's not merely Congress that has the power to disqualify people. There may be other federal agencies or courts that have the ability to disqualify candidates, or it might be self-enacting. Was one of the arguments, as some of the other provisions of the 14th and 15th and 16th Amendments were self-enacting. Or 13th, 14th, and 15th were self-enacting. So the liberals are right. They went beyond the question in answering and creating this kind of dicta situation. Also, by the way, I thought a very devastating argument made by the liberals in their dissent was, why would it be a 2/3 disqualification override if all it takes is a majority of Congress to decline to enact a disqualification? Like, they're right. It doesn't make any sense the way this is set up. So then the issue is Amy Coney Barrett. And Amy Coney Barrett writes a very brief, not even really a dissent, just a note. And I'm going to read it to you because it's good to hear this. It's the kind of thing you want justices to say. She clearly agrees with the liberals, but she doesn't want to sign what the liberals have written. Not because they're liberals, but for a different reason. She says, I join parts 1 and 2B of the court's opinion. I agree that states lack the power to enforce Section 3 against presidential candidates. That principle is sufficient to resolve this case, and I would decide no more than that. The suit was brought by Colorado voters under state law and state court. It does not require us to address the complicated question whether federal legislation is the exclusive vehicle through which Section 3 can be enforced. The majority's choice of a different path leaves the remaining justices with their choice of how to respond. In my judgment, this is not the time to amplify disagreement with stridency. The court has settled a politically charged issue in a volatile season of a presidential election. Particularly in this circumstance, writings on the court should turn the national temperature down, not up. For present purposes, our differences are far less important than our unanimity. All 9 justices agree on the outcome of this case. That is the message Americans should take home. And she's right. And the majority did wrong. and the minority did wrong. And so what we've got now, and this is very important because what they did not say, it's what they did not say that is at least as important as what they did say. Because they did not say Trump was not an insurrectionist. And they did not say that he couldn't be disqualified from the ballot. Congress, they clearly say, has the power, if they so choose, to disqualify January 6 participants from holding federal office. That could still be done. I don't think it's going to happen. But clearly that could happen if Congress enacted legislation and if participants were then disqualified. That could even include Trump, theoretically, even though the court didn't answer some of the other key questions about Trump's unique circumstance, having never sworn an oath before, and having and whether he is eligible to be disqualified because he's the president and office is not mentioned. So there's still open questions here, but what the court didn't say is, I think, very important. Now, turning to Trump himself, what would you expect? Would you expect him to get all this nuance and get it right and understand the law? Oh, hell no. He never gets this stuff right.
Essentially, you cannot take somebody out of a race.
Sorry, let me play it again because the beginning got cut off.
Essentially, you cannot take somebody out of a race because an opponent would like to have it that way. While most states were thrilled to have me, there were some that didn't, and they didn't want that for political reasons.
Essentially, you can't take somebody out of a race because political opponents don't like... That's not even remotely what this case was about. Not even a little bit. The case was about whether the state has the ability to interpret the 14th Amendment against a candidate who they say was participating in the January 6th event as an insurrectionist. That was the question. Your political nonsense has nothing to do with this. Also, by the way, the very commonly heard idea that how dare they take away the candidate that we all support and want to vote for, that's a violation of democracy. Equally silly comment. That's not an issue here. They absolutely can take away a candidate who's disqualified, somebody who wants to serve a third term or is only 30 years old or who was not a natural born citizen. A point which I have said this before, but it is worth repeating. Trump himself made about other people like Obama and hinted at with Nikki Haley. You cannot say and be consistent. I mean, you can be a hypocrite and say that people are disqualified from the ballot because they're not natural born citizens and turn right around and say, how dare they disqualify me from the ballot? I'm popular. But I think we've gone well beyond the place where we're expecting logical consistency from the former president. 723 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Here's today's Strength for Life with your host, Pastor James C. Johnson.
Do you ever pray for spiritual and mental strength? Paul's prayer for the Ephesian believers was a prayer to strengthen their inner man. Let's pray his prayer right now and ask God to strengthen us in the same way. Please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, according to the riches of your glory, please allow us to be strengthened with might by your Spirit in our inner man, that Christ may dwell in our hearts by faith, that we, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness of God. Father, thank you in advance for how you will strengthen our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
That was James C. Johnson. He serves as the pastor of North Stone Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. For more Strength for Life, please visit our website, strengthforlife.church.
There is a big difference in the type of service you get from companies that do air duct cleaning. Hi, this is Todd from Gulf Coast Air Care, and I want you to know the difference between a quality job and a blow-and-go duct cleaning job. Let me ask you this. Do you really think you can get a one-carat diamond for 10 bucks? It's just like getting a $99 whole house duct cleaning. There are guidelines from the National Air Duct Cleaners Association and also the Better Business Bureau. A true inspection, cleaning, and restoration of an AC system includes the equipment and ductwork by a licensed and certified company. It's like a full detail for your car instead of the cheapy method of running it through a $5 wash and go. Air conditioners are expensive. Keeping them clean and well-maintained is a guaranteed way to have better health and comfort. So you decide what works for you, the $5 wash and go or a full detail top to bottom. At Gulf Coast Air Care, we take pride in the certifications and the licenses that we hold. If you want the best quality and award-winning customer service, you can find us on the web at gulfcoastaircare.com or call 934-2768.
Are you over 30 and putting off life insurance? It's time to get a quick quote from Ethos, a better, easier way to get term life insurance. All online with no medical exam. Answer a few health questions and you could be approved for up to $2 million. Isn't it worth 10 minutes to help protect your family's financial security? Ethos, up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam. Some policies as low as $1 a day. Answer a few health questions and get your free quote at checkethos.com. That's checkethos.com.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 96% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Registration for the summer semester is now. Session D classes begin March 11th. Go to PensacolaState.edu. That's PensacolaState.edu. Pensacola State College. Go here. Get there.
Get news at the top and bottom of every hour with WEAR-TV, our local news team, and Fox News on News Radio Pensacola.
Hey, there's something awfully screwy going on around here.
If you're not wiggling in your seat, I don't know that we're good friends. 726 on News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's the Pensacola Morning News. Jake's got our traffic on the fives for us. Jake?
Okay, I'm not seeing any major accidents reported by FHP at the moment. Do see some slowdown on Highway 98 eastbound in Navarre. Once you get past the Beach Causeway, stretching all the way past the Walmart, and now I'm starting to see a lot of slowdown 98 eastbound in Windhaven Beach once you get past the new Publix. Again, not seeing any accidents there, just slow traffic from the congestion getting over to Hurlburt. Also, 98 westbound, getting through Tiger Point, seeing our normal slowdown there at the Garson Point Bridge Avalon intersection. And otherwise around town, we're looking good. I-10 and I-110 are at posted speeds. If you're coming down Highway 29 this morning, nothing slowing you down there. And Highway 90 coming out of Milton through Pace is looking good. If you see anything out there slowing you down, you can always call or text our traffic tip line. That number is 437-1620. This traffic report brought to you by Executive Landscaping. Call us today for all your commercial and premium landscaping needs. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Somebody just messaged me. I'm wiggling in my seat, LOL. If you don't move to Beastie Boys, right? 437-1620. That's my phone number. You can text me or call me anytime. We're always here for you. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Today's Super Tuesday, the biggest day of the 2024 election nominating cycle. Could be a big day for former South Carolina Governor Nikki Haley. So far, she's only won one Republican contest in Washington, D.C. She did hold a rally yesterday in Texas.
You got a job to do. I need you to vote, and I need you to take 10 people with you.
And results will be announced from 16 different states and American Samoa today. A U.S. Strategic Command civilian employee scheduled to appear in court accused of sharing classified information on a foreign dating app. Retired U.S. Army Lieutenant Colonel David Franklin Slater was arrested over the weekend. He allegedly was communicating with someone claiming to be a woman from Ukraine and sharing sensitive information picked up during classified briefings. And police in Tennessee reporting at least five people have died after an airplane crashed along an interstate on Monday night. Officials say the pilot had some engine problems, and fire officials there say that crash was catastrophic with no survivors.
Thank you so much, David. I appreciate the update. Oh, I just got word in confirming from the Santa Rosa County School District something that I had been asking about, which is, did you know that Santa Rosa County school buses now have cameras on them, on the outside, for running red lights, for passing them when the stop bar is out? And I asked how many, and got back from the public information officer from Santa Rosa County, Tanya Shepherd. She said that so far about 180 of the 200 Santa Rosa buses have cameras. Those are the 180 that run routes daily. These cameras were installed over the last 2 months. During the pilot phase last spring, two of the buses had the technology, so in Santa Rosa County, always you shouldn't pass a school bus with the red stop sign out. But now expect a ticket if you do.
Absolutely.
They are enforcing it now. Very good. David, thanks so much for the update. 7:30 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable. What else do we have going? There was something else I was going to... Oh, I have Sunbelt tickets. Would you like to go see the Sunbelt tournament? It's going on now. Starts today, right? So I have Sunbelt tournament games for March 8th. That would be Friday. This would be the women's quarterfinal, session 8. That's afternoon games at 5 and 7:30 p.m. Two games, tickets for you, a pair of tickets. Caller number 3 right now, 437-1620, 437-1620.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. 15 states are holding presidential primaries on this Super Tuesday. The Supreme Court shut down a legal challenge to Donald Trump being on primary ballots under an insurrection clause of the Constitution.
It was a really well-crafted decision. People were very happy about it. Actually, all sides pretty much were respectful of it.
The former president telling Fox and Friends his focus is on beating President Biden. He could clinch enough delegates to win the nomination by next Tuesday. California Senate primaries today.
The race features Democrats Adam Schiff, Barbara Lee, and Katie Porter. While Republicans are rallying behind Steve Garvey, California uses a jungle primary, meaning the two candidates receiving the most votes will advance to the general election in November, regardless of party.
Fox's Ryan Schmelz, that seat became open when Dianne Feinstein died. Texas is the other state with a Senate primary today. There are a bunch of competitive House races. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 7:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne, 65 degrees across the area. Still seeing some scattered showers. Escambia County deputies say they're looking for a man suspected of trafficking fentanyl into the area. Officials say 42-year-old David Denver Holland is wanted on drug trafficking and other charges. Now, this comes after deputies say they attempted to stop a vehicle they believe Holland was driving on I-10, but say that vehicle fled. It was later found then at a residence on West Hope Drive. A man was seen fleeing that area on foot. Deputies say they searched the vehicle and found a firearm, 590 grams of methamphetamine, 170 grams of cocaine, and nearly 700 grams of fentanyl. If you have information on Holland's location, contact the sheriff's office or call Crime Stoppers. As Florida's legislative session now winds down, the bill calling for statewide term limits for county commissioners appears to be dead, despite the best efforts of State Representative Michelle Salzman.
Members, term limits discourage the development of political classes that prioritize re-election over effective governance. Officials may focus more on serving the public rather than securing their own political future.
Salzman's bill had terms capped at 8 years. Companion legislation in the Senate had 12 years. While the bill was able to make it through multiple committees, ultimately House leadership elected to not include that bill on the full House calendar this week. The legislative session will end on Friday. A legendary Hall of Fame football coach has died at the age of 93. Carl Madison won a state championship with Tate High in 1980, led Pine Forest to repeat championships in 1987 and 1988. In all, he won 326 games throughout his career, 261 of those in Florida. Tate High's field was named Carl Madison Field in 2022. He was also named to the FHSAA All-Century Team and won Florida Coach of the Year 3 different times. Well, state lawmakers taking another run at the social media bill that would ban kids from being account holders. The last version of that bill was vetoed by the governor, who didn't like that there was no option for parents to allow their kids to have social media. Well, yesterday, HB 3 was passed by the Florida Senate. 5 people voted against it.
For the government to come in and say, no, we've decided the age is 14, I still think runs into all the constitutional problems we discussed. I also think that pretty much every single thing that we're concerned about is available on the internet in another form.
And 30 senators did vote in favor of HB 3. The amended version of the bill would ban kids under 14 from having a social media account, but would allow parental consent for 14 and 15-year-olds. It now heads to the House for a final vote before the legislative session wraps up at the end of the week. And parrot heads may have a new way to honor the late Jimmy Buffett. The state Senate yesterday passing a bill that would create a new specialty license plate. One of the new plates would be a Margaritaville license plate. Money raised from the sale of that plate would go to Singing for Changes charity, the SFC Charitable Foundation. Other license plates included in the bill yesterday would be for Universal Orlando Resort, aviation, recycling, boating, and the villages. It is 7:35, News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives.
Well, not seeing any major accidents reported by FHP at the moment. Still seeing a lot of slowdown on Highway 98 eastbound through Navarre. Once you get past the causeway, that's going to stretch all the way past the Walmart. And then it kind of eases up. And then once you get past the new Publix in the Windhaven Plaza, it's going to slow down there all the way up to Hurlburt. Otherwise, around town, we're looking pretty good. Highway 98 westbound through Tiger Point, seeing our normal morning slowdown. But I-10 and I-110 are at posted speeds. If you're coming out of Milton this morning on Highway 90 through Pace, I don't see anything slowing you down. Highway 29 south is accident-free from the cutoff in Molino through Cantonment. And we're looking good from 12th Avenue through to Palafox and W Street. I still see reports of this structure fire. This is going to be at Torres Avenue and North 6th Avenue in Pensacola. If you're in that area, you might want to avoid that intersection. I'm sure crews are on the scene getting that fire under control at the moment. If you see anything else out there on the roadway slowing you down, call or text our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
A very wet start to our morning, 90% chance of rain through the morning hours, becoming spotty in the afternoon, high near 68. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 60 degrees. For Wednesday, partly cloudy skies, high near 75. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 58 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And right now, we've got 65 in Pensacola, 65 in Gulf Breeze, and 65 in Milton. Your next news at 8 o'clock, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, and dependable. And your money now. This morning, the market futures trending down with the Dow futures down 105 points, S&P futures down 17 points, NASDAQ futures down 99 and a quarter points. Congressional leaders releasing the language of a new government funding bill with plans to avoid a government shutdown ahead of Friday's deadline. The over 1,000 pages of legislation would keep the government open until October. And Apple being hit with a big $2 billion fine by the European Union over music streaming. An investigation started back in 2020 after Spotify filed a complaint saying it and other music streaming providers had been forced to pay a fee for purchases using Apple's in-app payment system.
The Port of Pensacola is more than just a name. It's a powerhouse of economic opportunities, a strategic location that sparks growth and prosperity, contributing significantly to the local and regional economy with 23 incredible businesses that call this port home. Big names like C-Mex Materials, GE Wind Energy, and soon the prestigious American Magic Sailing Team. Since 1754, the Port of Pensacola has been the driving force behind Northwest Florida's economic success. Explore more at portofpensacola.com.
Join Lori from Davis Hardware and U-Haul on Pep Talk tomorrow at 10:30 for Davis Hardware and U-Haul's first show, talking about what makes Davis Hardware your go-to place for those hard-to-find items. Air conditioner filters of every size, hard-to-find fasteners and plumbing connectors, nails by the piece, and pest control options that work specifically for rats.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Hey, Pensacola, get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola, tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Good morning, 7:39, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, misty, rainy, weird weather this morning, just kind of cold and crummy. I mean, not so cold, it's like 70 degrees, but still, it's a little bit crummy out. But we'll take it for a march, it's better than snowstorms. Chip Simmons is the Escambia County Sheriff. He always joins us every Tuesday morning. Sheriff, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
I'm doing great. I've been made to laugh by one of your posts just a moment ago, and we'll come back to that later. Okay. I just want to tell you we're coming back to that later because it's good. Let's go chronologically. We've got a bunch of things that happened. Starting, it seems like Tuesday right after, there's always a lot of things happening Tuesdays.
Well, we hold off until after the radio show.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like it's the events, the press conferences, whatever, so I'm always like a week behind on this, but it's okay. You know, I don't take it personally too often. This was you had four juveniles involved in a grand theft and a fleeing of the police, 12, 13, 14, 15 years old, right?
Yeah, yeah. They were out there checking door handles. We got a call a couple hours earlier, and by earlier, I mean around 12:30 or so. We couldn't find them. We went out there in the area, and they were hiding, I guess. A couple hours later, we get a report that they had stolen someone's car from their driveway, and they actually saw them driving away from, I think, the Grocery Advantage over around Lillian. Our deputies were still in the area because we're looking for these hooligans. And we see the car, and it does what bad guys often do and take off, and they think that they're in some sort of a television show. But we ended up doing a pit maneuver and ended up stopping them. We caught two of them initially, and then we caught the other two about an hour or two later. So all four of them were arrested, all charged with, you know, burglary of vehicles and that sort of thing. And the thing was that they were all in their, what I call, early teens, mm-hmm. which is just think about that. Where were your kids and where should your kids be at 12, 13, 14 years old?
Right.
They should be at home in bed, you know, but they were not. They were out trying to steal some other people's belongings. And we ended up putting them in jail, and hopefully the judge will, give them the appropriate sentence.
Yeah, I mean, 7th and 8th grade, like that number, 12 and 13, is just hard to wrap your brain around. You know, one of the things that you and I have talked a bunch about recently is, pit maneuvers and disabling vehicles that are involved in car thefts for the connection to drive-bys and shootings of various kinds. Right. We're doing more of that. Are we the only agency that's doing more of that? Or because what I was thinking, honestly, is your officers do it enough that I think they're sort of becoming skilled.
We're just better at it.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
It depends. There are many policies, law enforcement policies, allow you to chase for forcible felonies, but they give the rules to their lieutenants, shift commanders, mm-hmm. to calm this thing down quite a bit. The difference that what you're seeing with the sheriff's office now is that we're trying to stop it early. We're not really the pursuit's not the intent. The stop is the intent.
Got it.
And the quick stop is certainly the intent. And both of these that we were talking about earlier before we come in here are attempts to stop them early. Now, I mean, it does dent our fenders a bit. And I have constant contact with our garage.
Yeah,
because they're not happy about it all the time. But I give them overtime to with a hammer and dent those fenders out. Because I think seriously, if you think about the number of felons that we've taken off the street, the number of guns that we get, off the street, and hopefully these criminals will understand. Don't come to Escambia County and think you can just steal something and run and endanger others' lives.
Well, deterrence is ultimately a perception, right? And if they perceive that the tone has changed and they can't get away or get away with it, they will, theoretically, criminals are, rational to some degree. They will react accordingly. We hope for that change.
It was a good week, though. Again, we had that one. Then we had the other pit where we had a
Juan
Moultrie Jr., 29. Yeah, he was arrested driving a 2023 Silver Genesis. Used to be a nice car. And it's now a... used car.
Slightly damaged.
It was
damaged.
A good week for us. Yeah. It was a four bumper week for us. So we did pretty good.
It's a four bumper week. Speaking of other things that took place last week, we had, on Tuesday, we had somebody who got shot in a leg. We got an armed robbery at a convenience store. And then there was an escaped inmate on Thursday. Where do you want to start?
Well, the escaped inmate, not really ours. It's the state. Has a work release program right next to our sheriff's office, actually.
Right, right.
And apparently overnight, he battered one of their state corrections employees. I'm not sure if it's a guard or an employee there.
Okay.
Or civilian employee there. And then he jumped the fence and went heading towards the ECAT system over there. I'm not sure if buses were running then, but I don't think so. So this guy...
You're feisty today.
We put a picture...
I like it.
It's a Tuesday.
I know. It's always a Tuesday. Go on.
So we have put a picture up, and we're hoping if someone can let us know where he is, we'll be glad to return him to the State Department of Corrections custody.
You also had, this was just yesterday, you had David Holland, 42 years old, found a vehicle and a lot of stuff beyond the vehicle.
Yeah, let me tell you what's going on. We have deputies out there that understand their beats. They understand their precincts. They understand what cars they see. In this case, they had tried to stop this car before and it fled. But because it wasn't a felony, you know, it didn't fit our criteria for bumping. So we lost sight of the vehicle and let it go. So later on, our deputy sees this car did a lot of research, actually. Found out that the guy went to a store and did some background and found out who he was, found out where he lived, went by the house, and here, boom, lo and behold, there's the car. And there's the guy getting out of the car, but he didn't have enough yet to stop the guy, but he did enough stop to get out with the car. Gets a search warrant, and we find a ton of dangerous drugs. Let me get this whole list here, because I think it's important for people to hear this list here. 590 grams of methamphetamine, that's over half a kilo of methamphetamines, 170 grams of cocaine, 699 grams or 700 grams of fentanyl, which is almost a kilo of fentanyl
as well. It's like a pound and a half of fentanyl.
It is a ton of fentanyl. And if you look at it, and you know, we always do this kind of thing so people have an idea, because 2 micrograms can be fatal, according to DEA. That would be enough to kill everyone in Escambia County, plus 25,000 visitors, because we had to add some to it, because that's how dangerous this stuff is. Also, a firearm. We did not arrest him yet, but there's a picture of him right next to all the drugs and the paraphernalia and such and the money. I think we had, $16,000, I believe, was the number there. So if you know where this guy is, he's already on felony probation for our gun charges. And now he's got more guns, he's got more drugs, and you can see the list of all of the...
So why didn't he get arrested?
Well, because he walked away from the car. We did a perimeter. Okay. He walked away. We seized the car because we knew who he was. And we didn't know how much what we'd find in the car.
I got you. Okay.
And so, again, we did set up a perimeter. I was listening to radio at the time. They did a really good job, but we think someone picked him up. He made a phone call real quick before we got into the car.
Okay.
That's what happened.
All right. Were you able to use, what is it called, that NARC alert? What is that device called?
Narcotics analyzer is what we call it.
The NARC analyzer. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And was that used in this case? Because, I mean, I start to think about fentanyl and that massive amount, and I get scared, you know, for the officers and what might happen. Was that a device that was able to be used, or do you know?
Well, no. We have 16 of those devices. Thank you. But we're still going through training. A couple of our deputies have been through training.
Right. That's
but
right.
But it's quite a bit of, you know, you have to make sure it's at zero when we set it and all that kind of stuff. So there's, and sometimes there is, it'll examine, I don't know, over 1,000 drugs. But fentanyl and heroin, you have to do one more step to it. So that's what we're figuring out all
that. Oh, okay. Yeah. So those haven't actually been rolled out to the field just yet. You're
That's
getting
correct.
Close. Okay.
That's
all right. Fair enough. You also had somebody who got arrested not just the one time in a day. He was looking to break some kind of a record.
Well, I guess, you know, you treat people well enough, they want to come back. You know, it's you build it and they'll come type of thing.
If you like your experience with the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, come back for more.
Yeah, we had a guy up there in Century. He was arrested twice. Originally in the morning, he was arrested for having no driver's license. His name is Christopher Pfeiffer, 52 years old. We booked him into jail on Wednesday morning, driving with license suspended, and he also failed to register a vehicle. So basically, car had no tag. So later on that evening, I guess he bonds out on a $650 bond. At 5:17, a deputy sees him in the same car, no tag still ain't got his license fixed. So we stop him. This time he pushes the deputy. As we know, that's not a good thing to do. Push the deputy, tries to run. Probably not very fast. We catch him, and then he pushes away again. This time we tase him.
David's dying over here. My news guy's listening to you. He's like, but he's not very fast.
And he hits the ground from the taser, and he's back in jail for the second time.
Well, I thought if you got arrested once in a day, don't you have immunity the rest of the day? I thought that was how that worked.
No. I think the check-in at the jail was 4, so we had to wait until a little later on and get back
I
in
see.
That same,
All right.
same
they
room.
They didn't have the room ready same for him again
Yeah,
yet.
Weren't quite ready
okay.
for him.
All right, fair enough. So, I do. See, you're feisty today. You're salty. I like it. Last thing, going back to the giant amount of narcotics that you found in the car allegedly connected to David Holland, you guys put a picture up on Facebook, and I don't know if it's a secret who's running your social media, but you guys are... You're doing okay, with this one, because you've got a picture of all the stuff.
Right.
And I'm going to narrate a little bit, unless you want to.
No, go ahead.
Okay. So you've got a bag with a Lee brand on it that says brown bag belonging to Lee. You've got an index indicator here, deadly powder, more deadly powder. You've got a gun that's got some gold accents, Goldfinger's firearm. bullet holder for a magazine, rolled currency, white box with barcode. That one cracks me up because it just is. It's a white box with a barcode. Bullets, possible secret message in a folded up piece of paper, communications devices, weighing device. And between them, there's a cell phone to which you've said tricorder. Nice Star Trek reference. And then out of all of these, my favorite one is the Chicago Bulls cap, which you have very creatively titled Minor League Basketball Team Cap.
Well, here's what we do. We look at all this stuff and we say, what does it look like it is?
That's right.
And so...
this is if Leslie Nielsen were doing your identification graphics.
Yeah. Well, and no one was killed in this. It's very dangerous drugs. And we sometimes we can make fun of how dumb these criminals are. And yeah, we said possible secret message. It was a crumpled up little thing with a number on it, and we thought it was. If you look at the three there, there were some communication devices. And it amazes me. We do this all the time, quite frankly. And there's always one reference to some. I'm a Star
there's
Trek fan, by the way.
There's something obscure in there. Are you,
know,
okay?
Or there's a theme, at least, if you'll read our stuff. And so I said, that looks like a tricorder to me. Well, our social media person is younger than I. And she's like, I don't know what that is. In fact, she misspelt it. Recorder or something. I said, no, it's a Star Trek. And so none of my jokes are any good in there. So anyways, if you're looking at the comments and you want to make a comment, if you're a Chicago Bulls fan, I'm sorry.
Truth hurts.
I'm sorry. And if your name's Lee and you lost a brown bag.
You might have it.
We may have what you're looking for. But also just remember, there's a picture of this guy, which we spared tagging of him. But we are looking for him, and we would love absolutely love to put this killer of neighborhoods in jail.
Very good. Sheriff, made me laugh a bunch today, so I appreciate that. Sheriff Chip Simmons, Escambia County Sheriff. Sir, as always, thanks for the time and keeping us safe, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You bet. Y'all take care.
752 on News Radio 92.3. Maybe it'll be a three-bumper week between now and then. I'm Andrew McKay.
Is your home your dream home? Or does it at least have the potential to be your dream home? Maybe you need to make a change. Maybe you just need new appliances. If that's the case, you need to check out Topps Appliance in Milton. Locally owned and operated, Topps Appliance has just what you need to turn your home into your dream home. Top-of-the-line freezers, refrigerators, dishwashers, stoves, plus washer and dryer combos. Topps Appliance carries the name brands that you know and trust, including GE, Hotpoint, Speed Queen, and so much more. And they have a full installation and service department, something the big box stores just don't offer. They also keep most items in stock so you can take it home today. Turn your ordinary home into your dream home with an appliance upgrade from Topps Appliance. Highway 90 in Milton, just east of Stewart Street.
You know what you want to do in retirement, but do you know how to get there? Tune in to What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair of Swan Capital, Saturdays at 1 to get answers to your retirement planning questions. Plan today so you can do all the things you've dreamt about doing in retirement. Don't miss What Your Money Would Say with Andrew McNair, Saturdays at 1. Firm offers insurance services. Advisory services offered through Swan Capital, LLC.
Splash Magazine covers the coast like the Gulf of Mexico. Each month, Splash Magazine offers a calendar of events, plus tips on where to shop, dine, and play. Learn about the month's special events, live entertainment, and interesting local people. Learn how to catch fish with Captain Dave Yelverton. See what is worth watching on your streaming services. Tom Nolan will tell you the latest. Find out how to dress for the changing Florida weather with Jen Wells. Get the most out of the Emerald Coast by reading Splash Magazine each month. For more information, call Gulf Breeze News at 850-932-8986 or visit GulfBreezeNews.com online.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out how this Thursday morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information about this Thursday morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings before Pep Talk on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Silence, you ninny.
Could you be love?
Sitting in here blushing because a dear friend who you may know, Deborah Dunlap, who is, if you know her, you know she's amazing. If you don't know her, I'm sorry because she's fantastic. Posted a thing up on social media that I just can't, it's super sweet. She says, UWF should award an honorary doctorate in political science and government affairs to Andrew McKay. I've learned more from his morning news program than I ever did in all the civics or political science classes I ever attended. His analysis and commentary of our local, state, and federal government affairs makes extraordinarily complex and often boring issues easy to understand for the common man and woman. Thank you, Dave and Mary Hoxing, for hiring this amazing man. Andrew McKay makes you want to be a better citizen. I mean, oh, God. That's pretty, wow. You know, it's funny. I genuinely never thought that I would care about local news. You know, I always found, you know, national news fascinating and Supreme Court opinions and things like that. I've long found fascinating. That's the best philosophy that's actively going on in the world is what happened at the Supreme Court. And so explaining that stuff to you is like, I mean, I feel like that's my obligation. And I have a degree in philosophy and political science. I ought to be able to use it, right, for the public good. But we moved here and I'm like, local news, really? And then the more I got into it and started watching these meetings, I'm like, oh, my God, this is so fascinating and entertaining. And why isn't everybody, you know, this is kooky and crazy and weird and interesting and good people and bad people. And, you know, it's Russian novels every week. I mean, that's how I feel about it anyway. So thank you, Deborah. This is a very, very kind comments. I appreciate it. Jake's got our traffic on the fives. Jake?
Okay, sit tight here. We do have a vehicle crash. This is going to be on Gulf Breeze Parkway, Highway 98. I think it's going to be headed eastbound. I'm not sure if it's east or westbound at the moment, but it is right at the intersection of Edgewood Drive and Highway 98 in Navarre. We do have a roadblock there. Also, I-10 westbound at Garson Point Road, we do have a vehicle crash. No roadblock there, but it could slow things down a little bit. Also, Brent Lane and I-110 north, we have a vehicle crash with roadblock there. And we are seeing a major slowdown on Highway 98 eastbound, getting through Navarre, starting right after the causeway, stretching up past the Walmart. And then it eases up for a bit. And then once you get past the new Publix supermarket at the Windhaven Plaza, really, really slow going from there up to Hurlburt. If you see anything else out there on the roadways, let us know on our traffic tip line, 437-1620. I'm Jake Walker with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, Jake. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, there's another rise at the southern border with 7,000 illegal immigrants being arrested in a day. Texas Republican Congressman Chip Roy says the crisis there is far from over.
1,000 a day was what Jay Johnson under Barack Obama said was, he didn't say crisis, but was a massive problem.
And most of those illegal immigrants are released and told to report for a court date that's years down the road. At the end of the fiscal year, more than 6 million people were on what they're calling a non-detained docket. Jury selection begins today in the trial of the father of a school shooter charged with involuntary manslaughter in Michigan, James Crumbly, facing four charges for the people that his son Ethan shot at a school in November 2021.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 7:59 here on News Radio 92.3, almost entirely out of time for the hour. Man, it goes so fast. I love it so much. And, you know, I don't get to say this very often, but Jake and David, it is genuinely a pleasure working with you guys. And, you know, you make it possible to do what I do, and I love that you guys are able to participate in the show. I appreciate it.
Listen on air at 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP, Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.